Thank you, Brother Frank. You know, Brother Al, this is the greatest place to make mistakes, isn't it? We don't worry about it. I think most all of you know that last September I had brain surgery. And so, Brother Al, if you want an excuse, I'll talk to you later. For months, well, for the first couple of months, it was real. I would forget things all the time. But I started using that as an excuse. My dear wife finally told me, listen, stop saying that. Your memory was bad before you had surgery. But we have dear friends in Orlando. Sister Cheryl Goodman, who's gone through some trials, said, no, you use that as long as you want. So I am. And so when we got to Sacramento, I can look out and see there's some brethren who are at Sacramento Convention, and I quoted from the book of Abraham. So, Brother Al, don't worry about those sorts of things. We all understand. I'm really glad to be here. Yesterday was such a great day of blessings, wasn't it? We've been looking forward to this, and just to see each other's faces just raises us up. We're going to talk about being raised up this hour. If you look at your program, it says discourse or baptismal service. And when I saw that, I thought, well, I have to be ready for a baptismal service, but we don't have any candidates. So we're going to talk along that line about being raised up and what that means. And yesterday, I told this to Brother Obi this morning, he was talking about wow moments. And I'm not sure if it was the scripture he gave where he had this, you know what a wow moment was, he described it so well. It's a scripture you've heard 500, 600, 700, 4,000 times. Someone else says it, and it's like, wow, I didn't realize that, because they're looking at quite a little bit different angle. And if it wasn't right a minute later, you quoted a scripture, and I went, wow, I never looked at that. And I want to share, because it was a wow experience, and you might get a wow experience this hour. I don't know. We're going to look at scriptures you've heard a million times. But you might have a wow moment, and if you do, you're going to get a blessing from it. But I want to share my wow moment, because I told Brother Obi about it. And the wow moment was when he read from James, the first chapter, James 1, verse 2. James 1, verse 2. And I'll just give you background why this is a wow moment. My mother, most of you kind of, I've told everyone, if you don't know my mother, I've told a story about her. After my dad died, she remarried, and her second husband decided it was no longer time to have my friends and your friends, we should just have our friends, which meant we should have his friends, call them ours, and don't go over to see your friends anymore. And he wouldn't let her come to fellowship. Well, now she's back. He died 3 years ago, and we now have our weekly meetings in her home. And when we walk in the door, you've never seen such a happy, glorious face. Her smile comes on. It's like, she was gone from studies for almost 30 years. Can you imagine? Almost 30 years. And during the course of those times, I've had a lot of opportunity to talk to her about different things. And she's had a lot of health problems. And she tells me about this scripture we're going to read. She says, you know, we're told to be joyous in our temptations and our trials. And she's had so many. She says, I just fail on that so much. I try to be joyous. And then we read James 1:2 yesterday. And what does it say? It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And there's a scripture in, if we go back one page in my Bible to Hebrews 12:11, it says, no chastening for the present seem to be joyous, but grievous. And Brother Obi brought that up. And I said, wow. I said, let me read that again. So I did read it. It doesn't say the pain is going to be joyous, does it? It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because the Lord has promised us to give us these things. Why? Not because they're happy, not because they're grievous, but that they'll build us up. And so it's the falling into these diverse temptations. And that was a wow moment for me. And Brother Obi, I thank you very much for reading that scripture. So, yep, the Lord gave us those scriptures to read. And I had a wow moment yesterday. Before I begin, I want to bring you a load of love. I left home 2 weeks ago, Monday. And so, of course, I first have to bring my wife's love to you. She's graciously letting me go that long. I've talked to her almost every day. You know, I have to. She told me. You call me every day. I want to know what you're doing, where you're at, who you saw, what you did, what they're doing. And so I tell them every day, well, I was with this person, that person. And traveling, we made this trip 2 years ago. Brother Jonathan and I made this trip 2 years ago. And unfortunately, he couldn't make the eastward half of the trip with me. So I was kind of lonely in the car, you know, driving down the road all day long. But the good thing is, I get to stop every night. So I stopped at Spokane the first night, and we have Brother Bob and Jerry were so loving and kind to put me up for the night, and brethren from Colfax came, and they voted to send their love. Said, please take our love along with you. And of course, they can bring the love too. And then the next day, I drove to Columbia Falls, Montana, and stayed with Brother Al. What was your last name? Brother Al Lewis. And Sister Marie. And we had five out that night. And we had a wonderful hour of fellowship. We talked and just had a wonderful time talking scriptures, looking for more wow moments. The only sad part of my trip was the next night I was supposed to be in Havre, Montana to see Sister Vivian. And while I was with Sister Marie and Brother Al's house, Vivian called and she said, I can't have you stop. She had just been in Billings, Montana because she was having problems with her heart and she was feeling not very well at all. And her heart doctor is in Billings, which is hours away from Havre. She'd just gotten home. She said she was having trouble with their pacemaker, and she said, they want me to come in and have it fixed. And I have to have it fixed Thursday morning. So the next day she was having to drive back, so she wasn't going to be there. So and we're talking, and you mentioned, Brother Al, you know, how sometimes you get emotional. And she was so emotional on the phone, I could just kind of hear it. And I was emotional, too. I noticed that's one of the residue effects of my surgery is, sometimes I start crying at things. It's not as bad now, but Margie and I would talk about it, and she had brain surgery when she was 18. She said she was like that too for about 6 months. But you know how they make commercials and they got cute little kitties and they have all the music that kind of tugs at your heart? I look at those and I'd start crying. Kind of a wow moment watching commercials. And Sister Vivian and I kind of shared that. She was so broken up. You can imagine. And I think about Sister Vivian a lot and a few others in her situation. There she is. You know, here we are. And we have our chances on Sunday to meet with the brethren. And there she is. She's all by herself. She's looking forward so much because brethren were coming to her house and then she couldn't have them. Can you imagine what that'd feel like? That'd be terrible. So we were kind of crying to each other and building one another up. But she said, be sure to bring my love wherever you go. And so I want to bring Sister Vivian's love. She said she'll be remembering all of you, and she said she's planning to be at the Red Deer Convention. So all of you who have an opportunity to get to Red Deer, you can look forward to seeing Sister Vivian there if it works out. I also want to bring the love of those from Seattle who couldn't come. I think there's about half of us here, aren't there, Dave? I think we have about eight in our class now. You can see a picture of our class on our convention programs if you haven't noticed that yet. And if you've never met my mother, who I talk about a lot, and people want to know, she's in there too, because that picture is taken in her house. So a lot of love to give to all you brethren, and it was mentioned that the Red Deer Convention sent love here, so I'm glad to bring that too. We stopped at the Murdochs, and Brother Jonathan brought their love, but I'm sure they wouldn't mind having, you know, it given to you twice. The same with Sister Patsy. So I told Sister Patsy she's going to be in my frequent driver miles. I've driven her how far? Almost 1,500 miles this year. That's a lot of driving with Sister Patsy. It's good, but that was a good question. Brother Bill asked, is that good or bad? It's good. It's a good thing. We got the opportunity to drive from Seattle to the Boise Convention. Sister Lori and Sister Patsy and Sister Alex and me and Sister Margie flew over, so it was me and the three sisters. I felt like I was a Mormon elder instead of a Bible student elder. But we had a great time, and they sang hymns to me along the way. We studied scriptures and talked about different things. On the way back, there was kind of a lull. We were about 2 hours away from home, so we decided, well, what do we do now? And someone made a suggestion, I don't know who it was, why don't we count our blessings? You know that song, we sing that hymn all the time, count your blessings one by one. So why don't we count our blessings? So we went around the car. I've never done this before. If you ever get a chance to do this, do this. We went around the car, and for 2 hours, wasn't it 2 hours? For 2 hours, We took turns going around the car just naming blessings. That was something. That was a wow 2 hours to me. Forget the wow minute. That was great. If you ever have an opportunity, or if you're with brethren and you don't know what to do, just sit down and start telling each other your blessings, because that's a blessing. Well, brethren, the reason we're here is because we accepted an invitation. The greatest invitation that will ever be made to the world of mankind. The invitation to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Paul says that this invitation was a calling for ones with specific character traits, and he says this in Ephesians 4, the first four verses. It says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or calling wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. God called you. Now that's a wow moment, isn't it? God called you, each one of you, called me. That's awesome. Just look around this world and think, you know, we drove through these different towns, and there's people everywhere you go, and God called you, and here we are. That's amazing. In the sixth chapter of John, Jesus declared himself to be the bread of life. You remember that chapter. And in the 44th verse, he said, no man come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. So we've been drawn by the Heavenly Father to our Lord. That's amazing. And just as Jesus is the begotten Son of God, we then have also become sons of God. We're sons of God right now. That's a terrific thought. And Paul told us that in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Sons of God. We are sons of God. And so our response to this drawing was to be led to consecration. We want to lay our life down to do the Heavenly Father's will. And the way we show that, of course, is through baptism. And so this morning we're going to consider some of the things that are associated with that baptism and that consecration that raises us up to this newness of life. And of course, we can't talk about this without looking at the sixth chapter of Romans. And so that's going to be where we're going to start. Romans, the sixth chapter. And here we go. Here's all those scriptures you've heard 1,000 times. Prepare for a wow moment. You can't prepare for them. They just kind of show up. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Consecration is a death condition. When we try to explain what we did when we made a consecration to someone in the world, and you say, what did you do? Well, I went into death. You know, they look at you like you're crazy. But really it is. It's a death. We are buried in Jesus' death. But it's not such an odd thing when we stop and look at it, is it? Because we were already in death. We were in Adam's death. We've been really just transferred from one death to another. In Adam's death, God really couldn't use us at all, could he? But being transferred into Jesus' death, now God can start to use us. And that's a nice way of looking at it. We're just transferred from a useless death to a useful death. Colossians 3:3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And it's a good place for it to be hidden, because now God can start dealing with us. And just as Jesus was raised from death to the right hand of God, and in Hebrews 9:24, we've got that wonderful statement that he appeared in heaven for us. He was raised up. We're to be raised up. Raised up to newness of life. Look at verse 4 again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptized into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We want to look for the rest of our time at what this raising up means. You know, how do we get raised up? What does it entail to be raised up into this newness of life? There's a lot of different ways we can look at this. I like acronyms. And I was talking with Sister Tammy the other night, and she was telling me that she and Arbor enjoy scuba diving. And scuba diving is an acronym. An acronym is just a word that's the first letter of each word, of course, means another word. So scuba is self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Is that right? S-C-U-B-A. That's what scuba means. So that's what an acronym, and we're going to use the acronym today of RAISED. The good thing about acronym is you can go both ways. Scuba kind of went from that's what it is to a word. But we can take a word and go the other way if we want. We can make up any words we want and any principles we want from the beginning of words. There was a song called Mother. Remember the song Mother? M is for the many times she grounded me, or whatever it might be. I don't know what this, I don't remember the song and the words. But it goes through M-O-T-H-E, and at the end it says, put them together and they spell mother. Well, we're going to look at this RAISED up as an acronym, and we're going to look at what we can find from those six letters, R-A-I-S-E-D. The first one is R, and to me what the R means is renew your minds. When we talk about consecration and being lifted up into this newness of life, well, it's a newness of life, and it starts with a new mind. And so the scripture that automatically comes to mind when we think about this is Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the starting point. We need to renew our minds. We're going to change it. Right now, when we're called out, what do we think about in the flesh? We think about the world. When we're raised up, the first thing we do is put the world away. Put it behind us. You're now going to start thinking of spiritual things. Your mind is going to be raised along with your entire life. And of course, our model for this was our Lord and Master, wasn't it? Because Jesus did this first. And Paul told us another verse we've heard a million times, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So we put on Christ. Thank you very much. We put on Christ. That's the beginning. Take your mind and put it on the shelf over there and put on the mind of Christ. That's the beginning of being raised up to newness of life. But it comes with a cost. And we're told it comes with a cost. And we want to look at a scripture that tells us about that. And I think you've heard this scripture before. Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. And Jesus said unto disciples, if any man will come after me, what? Let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Going down into Jesus' death is the way to find our life. It's kind of an awkward way for the world to look at things, but that's where our life is. We need to follow Christ. And there's a few things that come to our minds when we read this. You know, let him deny himself. That's impossible for most people. You know, that's why we have maybe 60 people in here. That's why we don't have 6,000 people in here. The plan of God should draw 6,000 in this room, and it's drawn 60. Because we have to put away our own minds first. So most people reject it right off of out of hand. And then we're told to take up our cross because we're going to have burdens to carry. And this idea of cross bearing is very interesting to us. You know, if you ever watch the Olympics, they have weightlifting. And the guy goes down real, you know, he puts it up here and throws it up. And then the heavy ones, they almost just kind of drop it. You ever seen that? And they bounce up and the whole building almost shakes. That's not what cross-bearing is. We're not told, you know, lift it up and then drop it, are we? We're told lift it up and then we've got to carry it. And how long do we have to carry it? Until death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This cross is we're given, it doesn't matter how heavy it is for us. You know, my cross might be lighter than your cross because I'm not able to bear more. God will give us the right cross that we have to bear, that we use to develop. And this gets back to the experiences that we talked about earlier. And then follow me. So we look at his life, and what was his life like? It was a life of sacrifice, laying his life down, not to chase after, you know, earthly ambitions. Just think of Jesus would have chased after earthly ambitions. He could have been ruler of the world then. But he didn't want to. That wasn't his purpose. And that's not our purpose. We're told, no matter how smart you are, how talented you are, those are not your goals, those are not your ambitions. Your ambitions is to follow in the footsteps of Christ, our forerunner. Paul talks about this concept in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12. I'll find it in a minute. I had brain surgery last fall. Things are a little slower. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our course, or of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The Prince Albert Convention had the first scripture here as their theme discourse last week, and they broke it apart. Brother Jonathan was talking about words. They broke this into words and phrases, and they had different lessons assigned for the brethren who were there. Speaking about, well, first of all, there was two brothers who were to speak on the ancient worthies, and that's really interesting. Look at what the ancient worthies did. Because at the end of the 11th chapter, after Paul talks about, you know, how faithful these ancient worthies were, says they did all that without the promise that you have. And of course, the contrast is, look at the way those ancient worthies led their life without the promise that you have. How much more energetic, how much more should you be pouring out your life to do the Heavenly Father's will with the prospect of the promise he's given to us? And that's a great way to look at ourselves. And then to look at Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. If you ever get wearied in your mind, just look at him. Consider what he did. It says if you do, you won't faint in your minds. So we look towards him. He's our forerunner. The A in the raised. Our A. A. I love coming up here, Jonathan and I get in trouble with some of our friends because we like to talk Canadian. But the A in raised. And again, you can make it whatever you want if you make your own acronym. I chose the armor of God. And I chose it because we're told to put all these things of the world away. But as soon as we do, God gives us what we need to make up for it. He gives us the armor of God. And in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we've got this whole long list of what's entailed, what the armor of God is made up. And we just want to touch on a couple of things that are mentioned there. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And that's the key to everything that follows. God gives us the whole armor. Just think if he only gave us the sword. You know, that would have been bad. But he gives us the whole armor of God. And then he tells us, first of all, why it's there, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, are we? We're wrestling against higher powers, spiritual powers. Who wants us? Who would like to defeat? My neighbor doesn't care where I go. Satan does. Your neighbors don't care that you're spending your time here. Satan does. That's who we're battling. That's who we're battling. How could we possibly fight against the wiles of the adversary by ourselves? And of course, the answer, we couldn't. So God, when he raises us up, the first thing he does is arms us for battle for those who would bring us back down. That's just a tremendous thought. But that's the way our Heavenly Father is, and all day yesterday we kept hearing about the love of God and how he provides everything and assures us that we'll be faithful. How does he assure us? First thing he does, he gives us this armor. I. Increase of knowledge. Increase your knowledge, brethren. We need to increase our knowledge of the Heavenly Father. know, someone held this up yesterday, and if you ever watch TV shows, I love when they hold up their Bible, you know, kind of shake it around, you know, kind of point to it. I'm afraid to do that because pages fall out. But we're told to increase our knowledge. And there's different ways we can do it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And we heard this scripture yesterday. We hear all my scriptures when I speak. I don't like to be last because I'm always afraid someone's going to give my discourse. And it bothered me for a while. But it doesn't anymore. And I'll tell you another wow moment, Brother Obi. I was at a Sylamar and I was giving a discourse, and the title of it was the Book of Galatians. I was going to talk on the letter to the Galatians. And my time slot was right after Brother Jim Parkinson was speaking. And when he was introduced, the chairman introduced him, the title of Brother Jim's talk today is the letter to the Galatians. I said, okay. That's the last time I ever worried about brethren taking scriptures. He talked about Galatians and we had a break. I talked about Galatians and we didn't cover the same thing. There's so much in there. You know, some have obviously overlapped, but I don't worry about it. So yesterday we heard this scripture, and so we can read it again because it's an important scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study this. We need to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And we went through a little exercise yesterday right here. Brother Jonathan, our teacher fisherman friend, let us go through a little exercise. And that was good. Can you prove the thing, the hope that is within you? You should. The only way you can do it is if you read. The only way you can do it is ask the Heavenly Father, explain this to me. Open my minds. I want my heart developed, but open my mind too so I can share this when others have a hearing ear. And there's another way that we can increase our knowledge, and that's by gathering together, isn't it? Gathering together. And of course, the scripture for that, which we read yesterday, is Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 23 to 25. There it says, let us hold the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Or another better word maybe might be stimulate. We stimulate one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a reason that we get together. There's multiple reasons. One of them is to increase our knowledge. We can increase our knowledge from lessons from the platform. We can increase our knowledge from individual fellowship with our brethren. You don't have to learn it from a speaker. And that's kind of a wow moment for me too. If you've ever gone into a church for a service, someone invites you in, or if you've gone to a funeral or someplace, it's so formal. You know, you go and you sit down and maybe you mill around a little bit, and then, you know, the organ will start playing, and then, you know, the priest or the minister walked out, and sometimes you got this big hat and, you know, the robes and that. Just think if they came here. Here's all these people kind of standing around milling with each other, talking. The piano starts, and one of them comes up and starts preaching. That's an interesting concept. It's certainly different from the churches, isn't it? But it's the assembling of ourselves together during those little break times that helps build our faith. Just by looking at one another, we increase our... I increase my knowledge just by watching brethren. Just by looking into their faces, I can remember something about them. Maybe it's their character development. You know, just seeing the character of the brethren increases your knowledge because we have so many scriptures that tell us to build ourselves up. So don't forget to increase your knowledge or increase the opportunities to be with your brethren. S stands for service. There are so many ways that we can serve one another and serve the Heavenly Father. And so we can look at scripture left and right. I've chosen just two, and you know, if you're interested, you can make a little study on this yourself. You know, what other ways can I serve? 1 Timothy 5, verses 9 and 10, talks about a widow and her service. 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 10. It says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of, why? Of good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodge stranger, she has washed the saints' feet. Now there's a service. This one is mentioned because she washed the saints' feet. Who else washed the saints' feet? Jesus, didn't he? There's a service. And you know, we could talk about feet washing for, I don't know, a couple of days. We're just touching on it here. But this idea of words, and that was brought up yesterday, words or little phrases, we can tear apart, we can talk for forever. We're going to get forever to talk about these things. Here's one who has mentioned that her service and good works were mentioned because she washed the saints' feet. That's a service to one another. You're washing each other's feet this weekend, aren't you? And it's a good thing. Romans 2, verses 6 and 7. Another place this is mentioned. It's associated with our goals that when we're raised up and to walk in newness of life. It said, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So those who do good works are those who are seeking for this divine hope. So service is very important to us. It brings it down to a level of action. And being raised up and to walk in the newness of life is an active thing. We are active. We're supposed to be active. But we have to move along. Time is coming, and Brother Al's going to remember that he has to come up here and stop me in a minute. E, examine yourselves. And again, how many times have we heard discourse about self-examination? I've probably heard a couple hundred. And when the chairman comes up and says, Brother, whoever fill in the blank is going to talk about self-examining, I always get excited. I've heard it 100 times, but and why is that? I'll bet you have the same response. Because we have to examine ourselves. Oh, I already did that. Oh, okay. What does that mean? What were your conclusions when you examined yourself? Yeah, were you really good? Were you counted worthy unto blood? No. Maybe I had a better day yesterday than the day before, but it's an ongoing process. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Whether ye be in the faith. You're raised up to this newness of life. We accepted this invitation. We made a consecration, and now we're supposed to see whether we're in the faith? Yeah, this is important stuff to us. Prove yourselves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Isn't it great we examine ourselves? I would not want to have to examine you, brother, and I know I don't want you examining me. I think it's a merciful thing our Heavenly Father did to tell us, you need to examine yourself. Your characters have to be examined, but you do it. This is an active walk we're in. When we're raised to this newness of life, we're busy. We're busy walking in this new way. That's a great thing. There's a scripture in the 139th Psalm that also says, search me, 139 verses 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we examine ourselves, but we also invite God to examine ourselves. You know, He's the one who invited us. He told us to examine ourselves, but we have this wonderful scripture to remember to ask Him to examine ourselves also. So examination is really a wonderful, important part of this being raised up. Hello, Brother Al. I'll be done in just a moment. D, do the right thing. There was an ad campaign in the States a few years ago that said, just do it. And it caught on because it's so simple, but it's so straightforward. You want to do all these? Just do it. Sometimes we stop and think, I have this road to go on. I have this trip to do. Oh, I'm going to have to stop here. I can't take the time here. No, just do it. And we're told that. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, talks about this, and it says, just do it. And there's one way we do it, and that's under the Lord, isn't it? We do it, but we do it under the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 17, and then verses 23 to 25. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. We heard about that inheritance yesterday. Do it, and do it unto the Lord, because he's the one who promised you this inheritance. And what an inheritance it is, the love that our Heavenly Father has promised. Where was I? For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So if you do it, you'll get this reward. So just do it. That's the deed. So let's summarize. And we don't have time to go through. You can go through that third chapter, and I assume you probably have. That's a great chapter. It says if you've been risen in Christ, if you've been raised up, here's kind of a checklist. It says put off these things and put on these things. It's a great kind of capsulation and summary of what consecration is to us. But we don't have time to look at it. But if you have the time sometimes, that's a great chapter to look through. So let's summarize. When we heard this invitation to be baptized and be consecrated, we understood that it was to be buried in Jesus' death. We understand that we were released from the bondage of Adamic death when we did that. And that as a result of that, we're on trial now, and we've been raised up to walk in newness of life. So renew your minds. Put on Christ. Remember that you've got the armor of God to fight the adversary who's trying to keep us from reaching the goal. Increase your knowledge. Study. Assemble with the brethren. Give service wherever you can. God likes hard workers. Remember service. Examine yourselves. Don't waste your time examining others. And finally, look at all these things and do them as of to the Heavenly Father. And we're just going to close by looking at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter, the first chapter. And oh yes, we heard this yesterday. Starting with verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's our walking in newness of life, isn't it? That's what it's talking about. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by those ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then it goes on and says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And it goes through this list. And you've read them before, you know what that list says. But what does that list do as we add one to another, to another, to another? I've got another acronym I think I'll have to do a study on. When we get down to the 10th verse, it says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And then he says, for if ye do these things, you shall never fall. God's told us, if you do these things, here they are, you have to do them. But if you do them, you will never fall. Isn't that wonderful? What an assurance that is. That's a wonderful, wonderful assurance. There's a couple of comments in the comment books I like about that particular verse. One says, you will stumble, but stumbling is not falling. And I love that because I stumble all the time. But stumbling is not falling. And another comment that Brother Russell made in the book, a comment book, says, your biggest test will be love for the brethren. And we heard that yesterday too. And I believe that. I believe that's the biggest test we have right now. And I know a lot of you feel so too. We need to love our brethren. So brethren, you're special. God's chosen us out of all the world of mankind to run in this way, to be raised up into walk in a newness of life. And so let us never forget what a gift it is, and let us remember that he said, if you do these things, I assure you, you will succeed. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. May the Lord bless you and add his blessing to our thoughts. Thank you.